welcome to the Word, your daily dose of Dominican preaching. Today, from St. Louis in the United States, we hear from Sister Megan McElroy, a Grand Rapids Dominican who recently earned her Doctor of Ministry in preaching. Sister Megan's reflection is entitled, The Hemorrhaging of the World.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him and said, My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live. Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured. Jesus turned around and saw her and said, Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you. And from that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, Go away, the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. The Gospel of the Lord. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. This line from the old 1960s television program, Dragnet, reflects Matthew's version of the story of the woman with the hemorrhage. We get just the facts. It lacks the emotion, the detail, and the mystery that Mark's version provides. Matthew's version simply tells us the woman suffered for 12 years with bleeding. She touched the tassel of Jesus' cloak, and she was healed. That's all there was to it. Now, there's no doubt that it is good to know the facts when it comes to something like hemorrhaging. Where is the source of the bleeding? What is its cause? And what are we to do in order to stop it? When someone is hemorrhaging, there is uncontrolled, excessive bleeding, and if it is not stopped, then one's life is threatened. Hemorrhaging, and I would add other diseases, also call for more than just the facts. It calls for qualities like compassion, listening, understanding. It's not just a matter of it being a medical case, but it's a matter of recognizing the patient behind the condition and all that they've been through. In the ancient world, the focus seems to be more on the condition than on the person. Because of her condition, the woman in today's gospel was ritually unclean and therefore isolated from the community. Imagine living like this, not in contact with any other human being for 12 years. That was close to half a lifetime for most women. It was the entire lifetime of the child Jesus was asked to come lay his hands upon. How the woman even had the energy to approach Jesus is amazing, because loss of blood means loss of energy. Mark's version of this story tells us that she had spent all she had, enduring much under physicians trying to determine the facts of the case, all to no avail. For most people, after 12 years of this, there would be the temptation to think, what's the use? Why bother? Nothing will change. That is the language of one who is defeated, who has given up. The woman in today's gospel, though, has not given up. She still has hope, and her hope is in this Jesus. If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured. And she touched the tassel of his cloak, and she was healed. There's a lot of hemorrhaging going on in our world today. Victims of gun violence, literally bleeding to death. Families being separated at the border in the United States. migrants seeking asylum from poverty, gangs, and violence who are being denied refugee access in other countries. The earth being depleted of its resources in our greed and refusal to change our ways in order to counteract climate change. Women and young children, both girls and boys, being trafficked. Men, women, and children who suffer the effects of homelessness and hunger. Leaders of nations instilling fear in their citizens with rhetoric that divides rather than calling them to courage and hope and unity. And the hemorrhaging of basic qualities of respect, civility, and dignity extended to all people. If such hemorrhaging continues, we risk losing all that is valuable to us, for life itself is being threatened. As people of faith, we're called to stop the bleeding, and we can do that only by applying direct pressure on the source of the bleeding. But as we look at the many facets of hemorrhaging in our world, we face a temptation. We might be tempted by questions like, what's the use or why bother? But the answer to those questions is, because this is not who God intends us or our world to be. Our temptation lies in being overwhelmed and therefore feeling inept at doing anything. The question for us is, where do we begin? We begin, of course, with prayer. And then we follow that up by doing what the woman of the gospel did, by making one small step and touching the tassel of the broken body of Christ, seeing the patient and responding with compassion, a listening ear, and a heart full of understanding. We stem the bleeding of the world, the hemorrhaging of the world, by meeting one person at a time, just like Jesus did. Rachel Macy Stafford of the New York Times recently wrote in her blog, "What we can do individually to heal the world's collective pain is quite miraculous. We can halve the pain by being one person's person. With one invitation, we can take someone from outsider to insider, from outcast to beloved member, from unknown neighbor to coffee companion, from wallflower to life of the party, from shortened life expectancy to 80 years of joy. Person to person. It may not seem like much, but we know and believe that our God does great things with the smallest of efforts. The beloved Bishop of Saginaw, the late Kenny Otner, put it best when he wrote, "We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest."